Hi, this is State Representative Greg Porter, and you are listening to Indiana Broadcasters Hall of Fame inductee Amos Brown, right here on 1310 The Light.
They have been talking about combining the jail, and or first combining all the courts in one building in this town for the last at least 30 years, and they've also talked about maybe adding the jail into that. So the concept of a justice center is not something new. However, the concept of how do you build structures like this, does government do it the usual way, are there other different ways, is something new. So the city put out a bid to a number of organizations, worldwide organizations, not just people from Indianapolis, and the successful bidder was an entity called Heartland Justice Partners, and the lead equity partner is a company by the name of Meridiam. Not Meridian with an N, but Meridiam with an M on the end of it. And they do business in North America and Europe. They are based in France, so it's a French company.
Right.
Founded by a French brother. I'm not talking about somebody related to Lafayette. I'm talking about somebody of color. Dark. Nose a little big. Anyway, the North American chair of Meridiam Infrastructure is a young lady. She's the pride of Massachusetts. She used to be in charge of the Massachusetts State Department of Public Works. She ran Boston's Logan Airport, which is a serious airport back in the day. So you may hear a little Massachusetts in there, and she knows she's in Indianapolis, so she ain't going to say nothing about any Patriots right now.
Leaving that alone.
She was formerly deputy administrator of the Federal Highway Administration from 1997 to 2002. That is not only the Clinton administration, but part of the George W. Bush administration as administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA. She was on President Obama's initial transition team in 2008, and now she's in the private sector as the North American chair of Meridiam Infrastructure. Her name is Jane Garvey, and she joins me live. It's an honor to have you here.
Well, I have to say it's a real pleasure to be here. It really is. We're very excited about being in Indianapolis and being part of this project, and I'm delighted to be here and be able to speak to your listeners, and I hope this is the beginning of many many visits.
We hope so too.
Let me first
ask, what is Meridiam? What is Meridiam? What kind of company is it?
Well, it's a very interesting company. It's a fund, as you said, established by Thierry Doe, who was a Frenchman, he was very young, by the way, when he really looked at this idea. He looked at the marketplace and he said, you know, there's a niche missing. There are a lot of these funds out there. There are a lot of hedge funds, and we certainly knew about all of those. But he said the part that's missing is a fund that is dedicated solely to public infrastructure. Solely to public infrastructure, and not necessarily with the idea of just investing, building the project, then getting out, but a long-term partnership, creating a long-term partnership. And the investors in our fund, interestingly enough, tend to be public pension funds.
So wait a minute. So Meridiam is like... because here at the radio station, we have Fidelity as the 401k. So it's like if Fidelity, if I wanted to invest some of my 401k in Fidelity, build a courthouse, that's kind of similar?
Well, I'd say it was similar. I mean, our public pension funds are very large. We have, for example, the California teachers, the main public pension
fund. Indiana teachers pension.
That's exactly right. And so many of our members, if you will, built public infrastructure at one time or were part of the public infrastructure. So there's very much a commitment to this notion of partnerships and long-term relationships.
So basically these entities, both here in North America as well as in Europe, make investments in Meridiam. And that's how Meridiam gets dollars to invest in projects.
That's exactly right.
How do those funds get their money back? How do they get their return on their investment?
There's a rate of return. I mean, this is not the jazzy part of their portfolio. This is the sort of steady infrastructure is lower rates of return, but very steady, very stable. And so from the investor's perspective, stable, predictable, long-term is what they're looking for.
So when the founding partner, and you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation of Monsieur
Monsieur Doe.
Now, I can remember that. When he created this, it was first designed to do projects in Europe, in France.
Mm-hmm. And he met with great success in Europe. There were a number of public-private partnerships. Okay. Have been around Europe for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Very new in the United States, or newer, let me say, but certainly have been around in Europe. So, and he focused, the funds in Europe focused on transportation and what we call social infrastructure. So schools and hospitals. I think another sort of hallmark of Meridiam is we really view these civic enterprises as part of the fabric of the community. So
you guys started here in North America with a medical research center up at the University of Montreal.
That's right, and Canada. A tunnel in Miami. We had a tunnel.
Imagine a tunnel in Miami. Wait, to go from regular Miami to the beach?
Yeah, well, almost. It connects the port to downtown,
uh-huh.
And it's been a really great success, and I think it's sort of a hallmark of how we do business. Here's a place, by the way, where 85% of the people who are working on the project are local members of the community.
Mm-hmm.
We made a real effort to reach out to the community in Miami. We ran a...
Was that with the construction jobs? I know, or was that with the jobs once the project was finished?
Well, the construction jobs, that's definitely true. The construction was just completed last summer, but those high numbers will continue with the operation and maintenance of the tunnel. It's a really neat project. We ran a wonderful contest with the school children in Miami saying, let's name this tunnel. And, they came up, the winners were the Girl Scouts.
Okay.
And they wanted to name the tunnel Harriet. So every time you put the after Harriet Tubman in the Underground Railroad.
Really?
Yeah. They saw the tunnel boring machine coming, and they said, that's like Harriet. So every time you read an article in the Miami Herald, you'd read about Harriet. Yeah. Harriet has now had the halfway marker or whatever. So it's been a great example, I think, of how a project can contribute to a community.
Right.
And I hope we can replicate that here.
So now then the people at Long Beach, California, which is south of Los Angeles going towards the Pacific Ocean, and there's a port in Long Beach, came to you to build a courthouse, not for the county of Long Beach, because they're still in Los Angeles County. This is a courthouse for the city of Long Beach?
It's actually the county courthouse.
The county?
It is.
Long Beach County or for Los Angeles County?
For Los Angeles County.
They got more than one courthouse?
They're big out there. You know those Californians.
Okay.
But it was actually for the court system, for the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
Although, again, we worked very closely with the county and very closely with the mayor of Long Beach, Bob Foster, who was very influential in moving the project forward.
So when you heard about this opportunity in Indianapolis, what attracted Meridiam to be a part of this consortium?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you a little my own personal history.
Okay.
Having been at Logan and then at the FAA, I've often thought of this as one of the most innovative places in the country, frankly. You have done some terrific things here in Indianapolis, I think. In fact, we were talking this afternoon about the development that's occurred here, and it's very impressive. The rating, certainly the credit rating of Indianapolis is very strong, and that's something we look at. We take a look at whether or not we think there's strong support for it, and there certainly seem to be strong support. In fact, one of the things that we look at is we want to make sure that, the infrastructure is really critical to the community. In other words, we're not particularly interested in building something that may just be a pet project of an individual mayor, but we want something that could have long-lasting influence and long-lasting importance. And courthouses, certainly, as part of the civic infrastructure, are very critical and important. So we focus more on transportation or courthouses or hospitals, things that are really critical to the community.
These kinds of structures that you do, and let me go back to the courthouse in Long Beach.
Yes.
If I looked at the cost per square footage of the facility in Long Beach, in other words, if I took how much the County of Los Angeles is paying you all for a number of years to run that courthouse, and I measure it against the square footage is the square footage cost going to be comparable to a downtown office building in downtown LA across from the Staples Center or right there next to that landmark police city hall in Los Angeles, or is it going to be substantially higher?
It won't be substantially higher.
Why?
In fact, well, interestingly enough, here's what the state did and what the city did with them.
Mm-hmm.
They did a value for money assessment.
Okay.
So they looked at what would this cost us. And in fact, I can get you a terrific report that was just recently completed. Now that the Long Beach Courthouse is in operation, has been in operation for almost a year now. I guess it's actually over a year. They've now taken a look at, okay, did the value for money hold? In other words, they did a value for money that said, what would it cost us if we did it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would it cost us? And they match that against what it would cost, if we were to do it.
The city actually did an analysis where they showed if we did it,
right,
this is what it would cost us, or if we're paying we're paying rent and all these other buildings, if we could consolidate anything, this is what it would cost us, and compare it to what Meridium would do.
Right, or what an outside firm would do.
Okay.
So that, the report that sort of shows, and by the way, this was a project that was finished a little bit ahead of time and on budget and so forth. So, it's certainly so far been a very good arrangement both for this.
I think one of the concerns, this has nothing to do with Meridium and you guys, and this is the people downtown at the city county building. We have yet to see those kind of analysis. When we talked to the deputy mayor for economic development and asked him, would there be a spreadsheet to show, okay, how much are we paying in terms of space now? This is the manager in me asking. How much are we paying now? So I can add, we haven't done that. What do you mean you haven't done that yet? You can see where some of these frustrations are coming in the community, and then here you guys coming in good faith, you know, great track record, wondering what in the world is going on here. Let me ask, going back on Long Beach, was there requirements in terms of minority, women-owned, and veteran-owned businesses in terms of goals and objectives?
There were, and I am happy to say both there and in Miami we have exceeded those goals, and that certainly is our intention here as well.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever the goals are that are established by the public entity, we work very hard to exceed them. So far we've been pretty successful.
One of the surprises when I saw the list of partners is that I did not see any visible minority-owned businesses as one of the major partners. And we've had a number of major projects here going back over several mayoral administrations, Republican and Democrat, where minority firms were either the co-developer or the lead contractor, or they were or one of the co-architects, very, very visible from the get-go, from Jump Street.
Mm-hmm.
Did not see that here. At what point?
That's a great question.
Was there any discussions with you all in the city negotiations? Say, Jane Garvey, Brother Tho, we're looking down here, and y'all got any minorities? That need to be visible, because that's going to be a concern.
Well, and that's a very legitimate concern, and I think what we've talked about, and we've talked a lot about this internally, is that as we go forward, we have all of the subcontractors
mm-hmm.
that are still possibilities. We've made no promises to any of any of the contractors. We are going to have an open, transparent process when it comes to choosing those subcontractors. And they're going to be a key part as we go forward. In a P3 project, you don't ordinarily move to the subcontractors until you've gotten all of the approvals and you've reached commercial close.
Let me go back to P3.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't want
to forget this.
Okay.
But when we looked at the environmental issues, I will mention that one of the firms that doesn't show up on there but has been instrumental in working with us, it was a woman-owned firm that helped us think through some of the environmental issues and where to site the building and so forth.
Are you all confident that this site, the old Chevrolet truck and bus plant, is clean? you know, the meets the standards, and there's no zombie hiding down there.
We are, and a lot of due diligence was done on that. I'm not the environmental expert, right, but a lot of work was done on that. And I think if you look at even where the building or the facility is situated, the campus is situated, right, on the site, it is, you know, we were very careful to move it as far away from what we considered or what our environmental experts thought might be some more problematic areas. So we thought that through as we were siting the facility.
We're talking with Jane Garvey, the North American chair of Meridium. They are the lead equity partner in the proposed Indianapolis Marion County Justice Center. What is P3? Walk us through why P3 is different than me just hiring Drew to build a jail and a courthouse.
Right. Well, first of all, let me start by saying two things.
Okay.
One is a P3 is not privatization.
Okay.
This is really a partnership. And I think there was a lot of discussion nationally a few years ago about privatization. That's not what we're doing here. It's very much of a partnership. In fact, the city never loses control. They always own the facility.
Mm.
So it is a partnership. That's number one. Number two, we say P3s are not for every project.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it as the panacea for all of the infrastructure issues. We see this as one tool in the toolbox for elected officials and for policymakers. The advantage to a P3 and the reason that a number of states and cities are looking much more at P3, it has to do a lot with risk transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the risk transfer around construction or design or operating and maintaining is shifted to the, either all of it or most of it is shifted to the private sector. So for example, if we go over our fixed price, we've told you what this price is going to be. Mm-hmm. If we go over that, we're not paid. I mean, we simply have agreed to what the fixed price is. And so that risk is borne by us. If there are cost overruns, they are borne by us. So there's lots of incentives then to stay on schedule and to do it in the most efficient way possible.
Somebody listening to that, though, Jane Garvey, might say, wait a minute, if they're not cost overruns or the change orders or that kind of thing, then what's to keep them from using cheap material, cheap wiring, cheap this, cut corners, and then we got a building. I mean, we've already had problems with our Lucas Oil Stadium, public, not a P3, publicly built, with pipes busting and all other kind of stuff. The Simon Malls built a building, private construction, and the walls aren't working on the front, which is embarrassing to somebody that's supposed to know how to build buildings. We had a library just a block down the street that people put it together, and there were lawsuits for days. So what are the guarantees that doing it your way, we don't have problems like this 10, 12 years from
right,
now?
That's a great question, and I think there are several protections. One is that this is a performance contract, too, so we have very specific specifications. For example, when it comes to some of the materials that we're using, we have very specific performance standards that we have to meet in order for us to receive any kind of payment. We have to meet those standards. And I think thirdly is the partnership issue. Interestingly enough, we are more incentivized to do some more, say, energy efficient. I'll use energy in Long Beach, for example. We were driven to doing much more energy efficient systems, put those in, because we have to maintain this over the long term.
Mm-hmm.
There is one point of accountability, and we are it. So if there are problems, you know, sometimes if you build a school, you know, like
right,
5 years into it, yeah, the air conditioning isn't working. And so the principal calls the building contractor and he says, well, that wasn't my job. That was the designer. The designer's long gone. He calls somebody who's got the air conditioning. He says, well, that wasn't my fault. That was the contractor. This is different. There's one point of accountability throughout the life of this concession.
Obviously, you work for the federal government. That was GSA, which is your landlord. Government has landlords. Private sector has landlords. And I'm sure GSA had them escalators in the lease every year or every couple of years. In the private sector, you know, there's escalators in lease after 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I think the price that we're supposed to be paying the taxpayers of Marion County is like $47-48 million a year for 35 years.
Yeah,
and then people,
46,
yeah, 47. Yeah. People listening to one, oh, that's going to escalate. Is this like buying a house where when you sign the 30-year mortgage, unless you're doing a variable mortgage where the first 10 years is this and after 10 years the escalator kicks in, this is like a 30-year fixed term lease?
That's a great analogy. I think of it very similar to a fixed rate mortgage. I mean, I think the one piece is inflation. Mm-hmm. You know, that it could be adjusted for inflation. But the likelihood is
and that's American inflation, since this is a French company.
Yes.
or the European Union inflation.
No, it's ours.
It's ours.
Because
their inflation is a little shaky right now.
It is. And we have actually the North America fund. So this is our third fund. So we've had two funds before this one.
Okay.
This is our third one.
So this is you're raising money specifically for projects in North America.
Exactly.
So this is not something where money could be diverted from this project and go to Dubai
or
Toulon or
no,
something.
No, it could not.
239-1310, 239-1310. We're talking with Jane Garvey from Meridian. One question, then we'll take a break. Was talking with a minority business person the other day and said, hey, the Meridian people are going to be on. Did anybody know anything? Did anybody even reach out to the minority business community on behalf of Meridian? And they said, yeah, there was a meeting in July. And I said, what do you mean there was a meeting in July? How in the world can somebody have a meeting in July reaching out to minority-owned business people and minority media doesn't know that? And then it just suddenly hit me that all of these folks that were out here bidding and speculating and doing whatever, nobody ever said, hey, minority community, we really want you to know about possible opportunities with us. Was that a tactical error that whoever you all had on your behalf talking to the minority community didn't even know enough about the minority community to know that there's been minority media in this town for 50 years and nowhere to come?
It's hard for me to answer that, but mm-hmm. but I will give you perhaps my observation. We probably should have done that. We probably mm-hmm. should have reached out. I think there may have been some concerns about procurement issues and whether we were, you know, when you're going through this process during that period, it's a little more sensitive. There are requirements and so forth. There may have been some of that came into play. I can tell you that won't happen again. We're going to be developing a website, and, you know, I'd love to come back and talk to you about that website and how people could access it and what information will be provided on that website. So, you know, apologies for that. But I will say on the positive side, I think in those 2 days of outreach, about 100 firms
right.
participate. And that was, we were glad to see that. We know that there's a lot of potential here and we're looking forward to really,
that
into action.
One of your developers is Walsh Investors, Walsh
yes.
Construction. They have had some, discrimination lawsuits filed against them by African Americans. And that news kind of came out through local blogs. Again, this, not a lack of transparency necessarily on Meridian's part, but a lack of transparency on the part of the city. Yes, I'm talking about you, city, which should have disclosed that. For people that have heard about that, because we talked about it on this program, how concerned are you that there are people in the African American community, including African American leadership, who are concerned with why are we going to get ready to do business with a construction company that has outstanding lawsuits charging racial discrimination?
Well, actually, and I should always let Walsh speak for itself, but here's what I understand.
And you can
about
tell
that.
Them that they're perfectly, yeah, they have an open invitation to come on.
Okay, good. But just here's what I know about that. It went through one of the lower courts, and the minority community that had sued actually did win. It was appealed to a higher court, mm-hmm. and the judgment was overturned. But to Walsh's credit, I will say, mm-hmm. What they have done since then is sort of separate, they've had separate negotiations and have come to what I understand to be is a very good agreement with the minority community. So they sort of stepped outside of the, right. of the legal realm and said, look, let's not fight about this in court. Let's try to work this out. My understanding is that they have made, very good progress and may even have it resolved by now. It's certainly worth, you know, following up on that, but you that's something we would take seriously, and I think they do. I think the only other thing I'd mention on that, uh-huh. I also have understand that the supervisors who were involved in that particular incident mm-hmm. are no longer with Walsh.
They're no
I'll
longer with Walsh.
I'll just leave it at that.
All right. 239-1310. 239-1310. We're talking with Jane Garvey with Meridiem Partner. She's the North American chair. We'll take a break. We'll be back with her remaining moments around 2:20. We will talk to the state health commissioner about the brand new initiative launched today by the state. The governor talked about it yesterday in his State of the State speech to try to reduce Indiana has backslid in terms of infant mortality, so we need to get that down. We'll be back with more after these.
WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
With Jane Garvey with Meridiem Infrastructure. They're the lead equity partner in the proposed Justice Center. So now, since you're this company that goes out and rounds up money, rounds up people to invest. So you're sort of like Oprah and Brad Pitt rounding up the money to produce the movie Selma.
Slightly smaller amounts.
No, but that was $20 million movie. Right. So this is $750 million. So this is like a big Avengers blockbuster type movie thing. Okay. So given that, the city has said this deal has to be absolutely done by March 31st or else we lose money. The world comes to an end. But it's sounding like to me like isn't this like if I was looking to refinance my house and I called up some people to refinance and I tell somebody I come to an oral agreement with somebody to refinance and they've got the money together and then all of a sudden it gets time to closing and we can't do it. There's no penalty to me other than that money will just go be used by somebody else and then maybe I'll get a better rate or a slightly higher rate, but that's the risk you run if something happens and you can't close on time. Where are we with, from Meridiem's point of view, is this March 31st a drop dead date?
The reason that we have been advocating for the March date is because of the low interest rates. Okay. Frankly, this is a terrific time. I'm old enough to remember those double-digit interest rates on that were very prevalent. These are historic lows right now.
What are we talking about, 1%? Less than 1?
Well, it's not quite that low, but it's pretty low. It's
okay.
Pretty low. So it's I think a real opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so our sense of urgency is much more around the best deal for the taxpayer is to move when the interest rates are as low as they are.
The other thing is, I think many people assumed that if we were going to do this thing, this deal, that this would have the jail, the courthouses, and the support offices for the infrastructure that has to support the courts, particularly our public defenders and our prosecutors. Now we're finding out that there is no space in this proposal that we're looking at for prosecutors and the public defenders, that they're going to have to commute from their offices on the east side of downtown over to this site. Who made the decision that the people who have to defend the folks and prosecute the folks weren't going to be on this campus, weren't going to be a part of this? Was that your call in the bid, or did the city say, hey, got to scale this back?
Well, I think we were all trying to work within certain budgetary constraints, but I think one of the pieces about this proposal and one of the elements that I think we feel very good about is that it does have the flexibility to expand so that if there's an opportunity in the future, there certainly will be opportunities to grow and to expand. And we've been very purposeful in thinking about building in the kind of flexibility that's needed. I think of it very similar to, airports now. Airports now have to be built in a way that provides for any sort of additional changes to the marketplace or some potential growth that could occur.
Is Meridiem concerned that at the time these negotiations were occurring, there was an expectation that Mayor Ballard would be running for re-election? He now is not running for re-election. His party still can't find a candidate as of 1 o'clock today. Is there concern that and there's no guarantee that whoever the Republican candidate would be would either be supportive of this project Is there concern on your part that maybe with some of these uncertainties, including, okay, really, how much would it cost to include the prosecutors and the public defenders building in there and some other things, that maybe we ought to step back and wait for the voters to decide who's going to lead this city for another 4 years, and but then be ready to rock and roll come November and December?
Yeah, I think that would be a missed opportunity, to be quite honest. Let me just give another example. Go back to the Long Beach courthouse. Mm-hmm. When the Long Beach courthouse was nearing or just about the same phase, as a matter of fact, before right. commercial close, it was the transition from, Governor Schwarzenegger to Governor Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there couldn't be two people who were more,
right.
you know, opposite.
Right.
And yet, what was compelling about the Long Beach courthouse gets to something I think we talked about a little earlier, and that is the criticality of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
It was an important piece of civic infrastructure that needed to occur. And, so even though we had two very different administrations, and by the way, it was the lowest time of the California budget, which
right,
you may remember
right.
when they were in deep trouble, Even with that, because of the importance of the project, it was able to continue. And really just while we certainly briefed Governor Brown and his staff and all the people around him, there was certainly a view that this was important enough to keep moving. And I'm certainly hoping that some of the conversations we're having this week that we'll continue to have over the next several weeks and months, frankly, will continue to build that momentum.
But if we assume that this is a critically important building for this community, and part of the ingredients is doing it right the first time, then does it make any sense to have a critical component of the criminal justice system to be literally a mile and a half away from the facility? You know, in other words, there's a part of me, when this first was talked about, almost a year ago, the whole thing was going to be, this was going to be the jail, this was going to be criminal court, this was going to be corrections, this was going to be public defender, this was going to be prosecutor, all in one facility. Now, you could argue over how to pay for it, you could argue over the location, but that's how this was explained. Now we're coming and finding out the key parts of this are not even going to be a part of it, which raises the question, are we doing it halfway? And then it's going to cost us a whole lot more money down the road to build an addition, to add something new, when we could have done it right from the get-go.
Yeah, I guess I would go back to my point that I'd hate to miss the opportunity, and I think there's enough flexibility in it that even if people were to, a year from now, you know, suggest that, then we might want to make some changes in terms of adding or whatever, the opportunity is there. I just think given the kind of process that we started with, as you pointed out so long ago,
right.
And the kind of, you know, reviews that's so many have had of the project, I would think it would be a real missed opportunity if we were to do that.
You may not know the answer to this question, but given that the site that you're building on, just to the east of you, is supposed to be a concert center, which means loud music on in the evenings and maybe during the weekends, that could impact a jury room. That could impact if a judge suddenly says, hey, we need to get this trial over with. We're going to have trial on Saturday and Sunday. That happens. Has there been provisions in the planning for extra soundproofing so that nobody hears, you know, the Paul McCartney, you know, reunion tour or the Smokey Robinson reunion tour, hearing loud music on a Saturday afternoon or at 7 o'clock in the evening when the judge says, hey, we're going late. I want to get this trial over with.
I don't know the answer to that, and we'll certainly get back to you, but I suspect there has been. I know there's been a lot of thought about how do you situate the building so that you have the front door that's open to people who are just coming in for the day or just coming in to do business, another area of for the government officials to come in and for some of the detainees to enter. So there's been a lot of thought on sort of the flow and the, where this building is situated, but we'll certainly check on the soundproofing. That's a fair question.
All right, Jane Gar, if people want more information, because there's all kind of websites, it's not the most flexible in the world, not yours necessarily. If people want more information, you said there's going to be a website coming. It's not ready yet?
Not quite ready yet.
It's coming.
But it's coming, and we're going to make this our first stop before it's, before it's launched.
And see, the next time you come, we're going to let the audience and the community, ask questions. I didn't want people to call and start, saying bad things about the Patriots. I didn't want to put you in that.
Oh, I know. What do you think? What's your prediction?
Well, I want the listeners to know she is dressed in Colts blue today.
Yeah. That was purposeful. I want you to know. I take no chances.
You're taking no chances. She came in Colts blue.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Jane Garvey, the North American chair of Meridiam Infrastructure. They are a part. They are the equity partner. They're the people responsible for finding the money to pay for this multi-million-dollar, nearly three-quarters of a... When I say three-quarters of $1 million, how do you characterize the actual cost of this? Because there's been a whole lot of dollars thrown about.
Yeah.
How do you define the cost of this project
is? We certainly focus on the construction cost, and that's $408
million.
Yes, right. Okay. So that's certainly a big piece of it. The other part of it is by the way, here's a good piece of this. The city does not pay anything until we are finished with construction. So unlike a kind of traditional, infrastructure project, you'd have to, be paying the contractor.
So it's not even like when you build a house, you're putting money down when you build a house.
Right. You gotta wait till, we gotta come up, boy. We gotta really get this done.
The check doesn't come till the mayor and the circuit court judge gets the keys, walks around with the punch board and check
punch
everything.
List. Remember
the punch list?
Yeah,
the punch list. And have the keys, and they get
That's
the keys.
Right.
And then you have your hand out and you want to run the credit card. I got it.
Yeah. So this is, that's a real plus because it really, again, puts a lot of control in the hands of the elected officials in the hands of the city to say, let's be really sure we want it. It's done exactly. Right now, even with the tunnel, we're going through some of the punch lists, and it's important.
Jane Garvey with the North American Chair with Meridiam Infrastructure, part of Heartland Justice Partners. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you. My pleasure. I've enjoyed it.